Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how to ride and improve your horse's walk. Now, the walk is a pace that is often forgotten about. Very few riders spend time in their regular schooling sessions actually training the horse to walk well. And this is a very costly omission, especially given that the walk movements during dressage tests are often worth double marks. So in this very in-depth podcast, we're going to be taking a look at what makes a correct walk, how to go about riding the walk, a technique known as pedaling. We're going to tell you some of the common problems that happen in the walk, how you can go about improving the walk, and some exercises that you can ride at home. So with all of that to get through, let's get going. So let's first begin by talking a little bit about the walk in general. So the walk is a low impact pace, and when it's ridden frequently and correctly, it can offer a lot of benefits, including the following. So it can help to release tension and encourage relaxation. It can help to improve the horse's stride length. It improves the range of movement in the horse's limb joints. And it also increases the range of movement and flexibility of the horse's back, pelvis, and hip joints. And overall, it helps to improve the horse's all-round suppleness and athleticism. Now, on top of those benefits, the walk is also useful for warming up, for cooling down, and also when introducing the horse to new movements and exercises. And lastly, the free walk can be used in between more strenuous and more collected work in order to provide the horse with an enjoyable stretch and a reward for his efforts, as well as preventing the horse's muscles from becoming stiff and fatigued, which can happen if the horse is asked to work in the same frame and outline for long periods. Now, you may have heard that the walk is the hardest pace to improve upon, but it's also the easiest pace to ruin. And this is correct. And if there are any fundamental flaws in the horse's overall way of going, then more than likely, they will be highlighted during the walk. Therefore, when you see a horse and rider combination executing a high quality walk, this is proof of correct training. Okay, so now that we know more about this pace, let's talk about what defines a correct walk. Because before we start to learn how to ride and improve the horse's walk, it makes sense that we first understand what it is that we are trying to achieve. So here's what's required. So we're first going to talk about the horse's rhythm and the sequence of footfalls. So the horse's walk is a four-beat gait. And this means that if you listen to the horse walking along a road, you should hear four distinct footfalls with evenly spaced gaps between them. In other words, what you should hear is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, to create that clear four-beat rhythm, the sequence of footfalls should be as follows. So it should be the horse's outside hind leg, and then the horse's outside foreleg, and then the horse's inside hind leg, and the horse's inside foreleg. And that sequence then repeats. Now, each leg should move after an even and unhurried interval from the preceding one. And the front hoof should look as though it's waiting for the hind hoof on the same side, until just before the hind hoof comes to the ground, then the front hoof lifts. Now, when you view this from the side, you should be able to see a distinct V-shape that is formed by the hind leg and that corresponding foreleg on the same side of the horse just before that front hoof lifts. Now finally, the walk is a pace without suspension. And this means that there isn't a moment where all the horse's feet are off the ground. There'll always be at least two hooves on the ground at any given point during the walk sequence. Therefore, because the walk does not have a moment of suspension, you can never describe the walk as having cadence. Right, so now let's move on to talk about the walk variations and the requirements of each of them. So there are four walk variants in total. So there's the free walk on a long rein, the medium walk, the collected walk, and the extended walk. Now, regardless of which variation you are riding, they should all show the following qualities. So firstly, the walk should have that clear four-beat rhythm and the correct sequence of footfalls, as we've just talked about. The horse should also show an equal length and an equal height of steps on both sides. The horse should also show mental and physical relaxation, and this allows the horse's back to fully swing. And there should also be a good amount of activity. Now, that activity does not mean a quicker tempo. Instead, activity is measured by the bending of the hind leg joints and the briskness of the hind leg step. And finally, the walk should have purpose. And a walk with purpose should have the appearance that the horse is marching with a tempo, which is kind of like drilling soldiers, and it basically shows an eagerness to get somewhere. Now, on top of all those qualities that we've just talked about, each variation of the walk then has its own set of requirements. So we're going to take a look at each one individually. So first up, we have the free walk on a long rein. Now, this is a pace of complete relaxation. And on top of the qualities that we've just talked about, the additional judges' requirements are as follows. So in the free walk on a long rein, the rider is required to allow the reins to slip through the fingers to allow the horse to follow the contact forwards and down. And this means that the horse's mouth should reach in line with his shoulder whilst the contact is still maintained. The horse should also clearly show an overtrack, and this is where the horse's hind feet should travel past the hoof prints that are left by the horse's forefeet. And the horse should show maximum ground cover and demonstrate complete freedom of his shoulder. Now, importantly, although this is a pace of relaxation, and yes, the horse should be relaxed, he should still walk purposefully and continue to work forwards into the contact. And then finally, the transition out of the free walk should be smooth and there should be no loss of rhythm or signs of tension as the rider retakes the reins. So that covers the free walk on a long rein. Now let's talk about the medium walk. So the medium walk is the first kind of walk that you will be asked to produce in a dressage test that requires a contact. And on top of the qualities that we talked about earlier, the additional judges' requirements are as follows. So there should be a soft, steady, and elastic contact that allow the horse's head and neck to move naturally. And the horse must stride forwards to seek the contact through a swinging back and a free shoulder. And the strides should be of a moderate length that is comfortable and natural for the horse. Now, at the very least, the horse should track up, so the hind feet should land in the prints left by the horse's forefeet. But ideally, the judge wants to see the horse overtracking, so they want to see the hind feet travelling past the prints left by the forefeet. So that's the medium walk. Let's now talk about the collected walk. So the collected walk is a pace that requires the horse to shift more weight onto his hindquarters in order to produce shorter and taller walk steps. Now, the collected walk is not an easy pace to ride and train because it's very susceptible to rider-induced faults. So to help avoid these issues, remember that the collected walk should always be ridden from the rider's seat and leg and never from the hand. And a little tip is to be careful not to collect the walk too soon, especially if your horse naturally has a big ground-covering walk. Instead, wait until your horse can confidently collect his trot and canter before you begin training the collected walk. But when you do get to training the collected walk, as well as the qualities that we talked about earlier at the beginning of this section, the additional judge's requirements are as follows. So the judge wants to see that the hind legs engage further with increased hock action that clearly demonstrates an increase in carrying power. Now the stride length is shorter than the medium walk, but the stride length is also taller and the steps should be more elevated. And the horse should show clear self-carriage through a raised and arched neck with his poll as the highest point. And the horse should continue to work forwards with good activity into a light contact with the nose coming just onto the vertical. And the horse's hind feet should touch the ground either just behind or just in the prints made by the front feet. So that's the collected walk. Let's now finally cover the extended walk. Now the extended walk is actually very similar to the free walk, except that it's not ridden on a long rein and we're not requiring the horse to stretch forwards and down. Instead, the additional judge's requirements are as follows. So the horse should move forward through a swinging back and a free shoulder to cover the maximum amount of ground that he is physically capable of in each step. And the hind feet should clearly overtrack the prints left by the horse's forefeet. And the horse should reach forward to the contact, extending his neck and putting his nose in front of the vertical as he reaches for the bit. So that wraps up the four variations of the walk. You now know about the walk rhythm, the sequence of footfalls, and what the judges expect to see in each walk variation. But now let's move on to talk about how we go about riding the walk. So when you are riding the walk, the two main qualities that you must always maintain are relaxation and rhythm. It's very rare to find a horse with a naturally incorrect walk. Usually the walk has been corrupted by tension, either physical tension or mental tension, or incorrect riding and training. So if at any point during your training your horse becomes tense, becomes stiff over the top line, or the rhythm starts to show some irregularities, then you should stop what you are doing immediately. Allow the horse to walk forwards on a long or a loose rein until the rhythm and the relaxation have been re-established, and then you can continue. Now during the walk, maintain a soft and elastic contact, follow the horse's movement with your seat, and allow the horse to walk freely forwards. This will help ensure that the rhythm and the relaxation are maintained throughout all of your walk work. Therefore, this will help you to maintain the purity of the gait, the correct walk rhythm, and the correct sequence of footfalls. So that basically covers how you want to go about riding the walk. But now let's look at a more advanced way to ride the walk. So if you take a moment to notice how the horse's walk feels whilst you are in the saddle, you'll notice that the horse puts you on alternating seat bones. And this is because as the horse walks, his rib cage swings from side to side with each stride that he takes. So as the horse's right hind leg swings forward to meet his right foreleg, his rib cage will swing to the left, and vice versa. So when his left hind leg swings forward, his rib cage will swing to the right. Now, there's a technique that takes advantage of this natural movement, and it's called pedaling. And pedaling requires you to use your legs alternatively during the walk as though you were pedaling a bike, hence the name. So you use your left leg as you feel your horse's rib cage swing to the right, which is when the horse's left hind leg swings forward. And you use your right leg as you feel your horse's rib cage swing to the left, which is when your horse's right hind leg swings forward. And there are a few benefits to this technique, and we're going to go through three of them. So the first benefit is that it helps you to maximise the stride length. So if you struggle to get your horse to track up or to over-track when required, then pedaling is a great way to help you maximise the horse's stride length and to encourage the horse to take bigger steps. And this is because you are using your left leg as the horse's left hind leg swings forward, and vice versa. So you're using your right leg when the horse's right hind leg swings forward. And using your legs at this time can stimulate the horse to reach further forward with that leg, therefore helping to maximise the stride length. Now, the second benefit to pedaling is that it can encourage the horse to relax through his back. So by using your legs alternatively as your horse's rib cage swings, you're contributing to the natural constant lateral flexion, so that left and right of the rib cage and spine, that is happening through your horse's back as he walks. So as you contribute to this, this encourages the horse to loosen his long back muscles, therefore helping to produce maximum ground cover and enhancing the purity of the pace. And the final benefit of this technique that we're going to talk about is that it helps to prevent anticipation and jogging. Because once your horse understands your pedaling aids, then he will identify them with the walk pace. And this will allow you to maintain a clear four-beat walking rhythm, which in turn will prevent jogging and anticipation because the horse will know that he is required to walk. So that covers the pedaling technique. Have a little go of it next time you are riding your horse. But now we're going to move on to talk about some of the common problems that are seen during the walk. Because as you are training the walk, you need to be aware of some of the common pitfalls. So we're going to go through six of them now. So the most common error that we see in the walk is tension and lateral walking. So in order for the horse to be able to maintain the correct walking gait, the horse must alternatively relax each one of his long back muscles. And if the horse becomes tense through these muscles in his back, then the natural walking sequence can become disrupted. So instead of the walk being an even 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, it turns into a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And this rhythm is called a lateral walk, and it's also how a camel walks. Now, to the observer, a lateral walk appears as if the two legs on one side of the horse move almost at the same time, followed by then the two legs on the other side of the horse almost at the same time. So you don't get that distinct V shape of the horse's front leg waiting for the horse's hind leg. Now, sadly, once the natural sequence of the walk has become damaged, it becomes almost impossible to recover it once the horse has become used to tightening through the back. Therefore, this is why relaxation should always be prioritised in the walk. And this is also why the advice is often given not to work young horses for a long period in walk on a contact. Now, if on the other hand, the young horse is completely relaxed in the walk, then the length of time that is spent in the walk on a contact is irrelevant. Now, if the horse is not a tense character, then the disruption of this walking rhythm is most commonly often seen when the first steps of collection are asked for, especially if the rider tries to incorrectly shorten the outline by taking a tight rein contact. This will have a very damaging effect. In order to correctly collect the horse must be supple enough over the back and he must be able to stay relaxed in order to compress the frame without becoming tense or tight. So to prevent this lateral walking, always prioritise relaxation. But now let's move on to common fault number two, and this is jogging. So jogging during the walk can be caused by a number of reasons, and this includes tension, anticipation, and excitement. Now also, some horses lack confidence when they're taken to events or when they are ridden in unfamiliar environments, and again this can cause the horse to jog during the walk. So to help fix this problem, first, make sure that you are relaxed and that you are not causing the horse to jog by having a tight seat or a tight rein contact. Now, if you are not allowing with your seat and following the horse's natural movement, then the horse will be unable to swing through his back and to walk freely forwards. So you need to take a deep breath and try to relax as much as possible. Let your seat sink deep into the saddle and swing along with the horse's strides whilst allowing with your hand so that the horse can walk calmly forwards. Now, secondly, if you intend to compete, it would be very beneficial to take your horse to lots of different places. For example, hiring an arena away from home is a very useful and effective way of helping your horse to relax and to become accustomed to travelling and working in strange environments. And this also prepares your horse and helps him to keep a level head when he's away at competitions. So by familiarising your horse with different environments, by revisiting the aids for the walk and the free walk, and by keeping yourself relaxed, you can overcome this problem and prevent your horse from jogging. Right, so now let's talk about problem number three, which is the overuse of the seat. So in an effort to try and encourage their horses to take bigger steps during the walk, many riders aggressively drive their horses forwards with their seat, especially during the free walk and the extended walk. Now, not only is this excessive grinding inelegant, but it can also cause a lot of problems. Now, remember that the walk pace does not have a moment of suspension. Therefore, by pushing too much with the seat, you can cause the horse to hollow his back away from the pressure, you can create tension, and you can create problems with the rhythm. Instead, allow your hips and seat to relax and swing freely with the horse, following his natural movement. If you want the horse to take longer steps, then use your legs. The legs ask the horse to go forwards. The seat allows the horse to go forwards. Now, common problem number four, which we've probably all been guilty of at one time or another, is micromanaging. Now, because the walk is the slowest pace, it's very easy for riders to fall into the trap of trying to micromanage each stride. And you often see riders fiddling with the contact, swinging their horses' heads from side to side, creating too much neck bend through the turns and corners, and generally just hindering the horse's walk as opposed to helping it. Now, although yes, this is not a time for you to relax and have a break, you must still allow the horse the freedom to actually walk forwards and to walk straight. So keep your contact steady, light and even, and let the horse do the walking. Now, problem number 5 is that the horse curls up. And this is where the horse stops working through his back into the contact, and instead he curls up his neck, he drops his poll, he brings his nose into his chest, and he ducks behind the contact. And this leaves the rider with no contact at all in their hands, and it gives the rider very little ability to manoeuvre and position the horse. Now, curling up can be a result of tension or stiffness over the horse's back, but it can also be caused by a result of the previous problem that we've just talked about, micromanaging, because the rider's fiddling or backward-thinking hands can cause the horse to duck behind the uncomfortable pressure that has been placed on his mouth. So to help fix this issue, first make sure that you are not the problem and ensure that you are offering your horse a still and a pleasant contact to work into. And then walk the horse on curved lines and circles and use exercises such as figure of eights, serpentines and loops. Basically any exercise that requires you to change the bend. This is because this will encourage the horse to stretch through the outside of his body and also to stretch his outside back muscles. Therefore, this will help you to release some of the tension and some of the stiffness through the horse's back, allowing him to work through his back and stretching forwards into that contact again. Now also, walking over ground poles will also be very beneficial, as they will encourage the horse to look down and stretch his head and neck forward as he does so. So hopefully, through those points, it should help you fix the issue of the horse curling up. But now let's talk about our 6th and final common fault, which is hurrying in the walk. Now, many riders know that the walk must be purposeful and it must be ridden forwards. But this then means that many riders fall into the trap of hurrying the horse along. Now, this is especially damaging to horses that have naturally big ground-covering walks. Now, the walk tempo may seem as though it's too slow on these type of horses, but that's just because they have a big walk and they cover a lot of ground. Now, asking for too much and hurrying the walk can cause tension and rhythm problems, and this can result in the steps becoming shorter, tighter and choppier. So yes, the walk should march purposely forwards, but the horse must also maintain suppleness and relaxation over the back if his legs are to swing rhythmically forwards in the correct sequence. Therefore, the tempo must be comfortable for the horse to maintain. Right, so that's all of our common problems done. We're now going to move into the final part of this podcast episode where we're going to give you some walk exercises. So we've got 6 walking exercises in total that can help you to train and improve upon your horse's walk. So the first exercise we're going to talk about is pole work. Now, walking the horse over ground poles or cavalletti, which are basically just raised poles, they can have so many benefits to the horse's walk and they can help in the following ways. So firstly, poles can help to correct rhythm irregularities. So if you are experiencing a lateral walk or problems with the rhythm, such as jogging, then walking over poles will be very beneficial because they will make the horse lift his legs in the correct sequence, and therefore they can help to aid recovery. Another benefit of pole work is that it can help to increase the horse's length of stride. So poles are a helpful method for encouraging increased ground cover and opening up the horse's shoulders. So you will start with the poles at a comfortable distance apart for the horse to walk easily over. And then you can increase the distance little by little until the horse must really stretch to reach them. Now, another benefit of pole work is that it can help to improve straightness and symmetry. Now, because the poles are set out in a set distance, this means that the horse is forced to cover the same distance with each leg. And this promotes equality in the horse's stride length, which helps to create a more symmetrical and a straighter horse. Now, of course, you need to ensure that you are using an even number of poles so that you are indeed working both sides of the horse's body equally. Now, also, poles help to strengthen the horse. Because since the walk has no moment of suspension, when the horse is asked to walk over raised poles, he cannot use the momentum and the cadence that he would use if he was asked to trot or canter over the poles. Instead, the horse must physically lift each of his legs individually to clear the obstacles. And therefore, this strengthens the horse's back and core muscles, as well as improving the horse's balance and flexibility. And the last benefit to pole work is that it helps to encourage a raised and rounded back. So, in order for the horse to be able to assess where to place his legs when he's going through the poles, he will naturally lower his head. And this should be encouraged, and the horse should have the freedom to do that. Because as the horse lowers his head, his back will raise and his stomach muscles will engage. And this will help to stretch out the horse's top line muscles and improve the horse's posture, along with the suppleness and relaxation over the back, which are needed for a good quality walk. Now, when it comes to pole work, for maximum lasting benefits, it must be repeated on a regular basis, and you can do it either ridden or in hand. But now, moving on to exercise number 2 to help you improve the walk, and that is walking in water. And this can be done using a water treadmill, the sea, or in deep puddles. And if you walk the horse in shallow water, this is very similar to the horse walking over raised ground poles. So you get all those benefits that we've just talked about. And also, the drag of the water against the horse's legs causes them to be lifted at evenly spaced intervals, and this helps to recover the normal walk sequence and promotes an even rhythm and an even tempo. It also helps to improve the horse's stride length along with full body strength and suppleness. Now, moving on to exercise number 3, and you probably would have guessed that this was in here somewhere, and that is transitions. Now, one of the best exercises to help improve the horse's relaxation and throughness in the walk is to ride several transitions from free walk to medium walk back to free walk again. Now, although these seem like basic transitions, they help the horse to relax both mentally and physically. They allow the horse to work over his back and stretch his top line, they help to strengthen his muscles, and they develop a longer swinging stride. And these transitions can also be ridden on a large circle for additional benefits. Remember that transitions are the building blocks of dressage, and they're just as important in the walk as they are in any other pace. Now, moving on to exercise number 4 to help you improve your horse's walk, and this is hill work. So walking the horse up and down hills is a great low-impact cardiovascular exercise that will provide the horse with a full body workout. It will strengthen and condition the horse's hind legs, it will encourage more pushing power, and it will improve the horse's top line, balance, and coordination. And all of these qualities will help encourage a freer shoulder and a more swinging back. Now, exercise number 5 is hacking. Now, if you have a horse that takes short, shuffling walk steps or doesn't have much of an overtrack, then one of the easiest ways to improve the walk is to take him out hacking. And this is because most horses will offer up a much more higher quality walk when they're out hacking compared to when they're walking around an arena. Now, allowing the horse to march purposely forward under his own steam on a long rein in the great outdoors, if it is safe to do so, is a fantastic way to really open the horse up. This encourages the horse to take longer strides, to push and engage more with the hind legs, and it also improves that lateral flexion and swing through the horse's back. Now, the final exercise that we have for you to help you improve your horse's walk, exercise number 6, is lateral movements. Now, although all lateral exercises will be beneficial, arguably the best exercise to help improve the walk is the shoulder in. Now, during a walk shoulder in, the horse has to engage his inside hind leg, which helps to improve the pace and correct any faults in the walk sequence. And also, if you have a horse that tends to jog or run away from the leg, then riding movements such as shoulder in and also the leg yield will help you to control the pace. And this is because it teaches the horse to accept your leg, because it's much harder for the horse to run away from it when he is travelling sideways. Now, overall, lateral work is the gateway for developing suppleness and higher levels of collection and self-carriage. And you will need all of these qualities as you progress your horse through the different walk variants. So therefore, lateral work should not be underestimated when it comes to improving and developing your horse's walk. So to wrap up this in-depth and I think possibly our longest ever episode, as the slowest pace, the walk is often neglected and forgotten about. Now, although it is a difficult pace to ride well and it can be easily corrupted, the walk can be improved through regular practice and also by using that pedaling technique. Now, during the walk, you should prioritise relaxation and maintain a clear 4-beat rhythm at all times. And exercises to help you improve the walk include ground poles, transitions, walking in water, hacking, hill work, and lateral movements. Now, as a final tip, it can be helpful to have someone video you and your horse walking. You can then assess it and have a look at the guidelines that we have set out in this podcast episode. And then you can work on ways in which you can improve it using the exercises that we have gone through. And remember that a good quality walk is proof of correct training. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.